Hello, this is Stephen Miller, and I would like to greet you all in the name of Jesus, our personal Savior. As it says in Acts 4:12 there, that he is the, there is neither salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. So I want to thank the Lord for that this afternoon, and my wife and I would like to give a brief overview of Melvin and Sybilla Fisher's lives and some details of their accident. We have omitted many details, but for those of you who don't know much about the situation, it will give you an idea of what has happened. If you've listened to option one, you've heard us introduce the children and ourselves. Melvin and Sybilla Fisher lived in Park County, Indiana, in an Amish community for about 10 years. Their small mobile trailer home could barely contain them and their seven children. Providing for a growing family was a constant challenge for them. But with the help of their children, they developed various sources of income to carry them through. The family worked together on their 160-acre farm to produce organic eggs. They had like 1,500 chickens. They butchered and preserved organic chicken meat as well as in a small cooler freezer on the farm. And they had milk like, you know, 15 to 20 Jersey cows. And they sold organic milk, went door to door and sold organic milk. Even as far as Indianapolis, which is like an hour and a half away. So just kind of an overview there. And then, this is estimated kind of by Leon and his in our communications with him that, you know, we would believe that that sometime in 05, Melvin and Sybilla were saved. They learned to know Jesus as their personal Savior. And, they experienced the power of his redeeming blood. And their hearts were reconciled to God. They began to seek and know and follow his will for their lives in every way. Melvin, he began to sift and look through the Amish church he began to experience a wonderful life walking with Christ each day. And he was starting to be sensitive, to the scriptures that God revealed to him. And he began to weigh the authority of the traditional Amish church and how clearly it adhered to the Word of God, which basically what he was seeing that it did not line up a lot of times with the Word of God. And so Melvin and Sybilla's newfound joy and fellowship with the Lord stimulated a passionate vision to lead their children in some other way. They were troubled by the practices, traditions in the church that did not match principles they saw in God's Word. Their heart's desire was to study the Bible together with their church leaders and fellow church members with open hearts, allowing God to show them His will. They wanted to compare the things that they were being taught to the Word of God and to see whether they really stood the test of truth. This concern was strengthened when they realized how their children's lives were being molded day by day by the values and teachings that they were surrounded by in the Amish community school that they were attending. Considering the growing differences in their convictions and the values of the Amish community in which they were functioning, Melvin reached a decision in 2006-2007 school year. As it came closer, he invited the local Amish church leader to join them at their house for Bible study. He concluded that if the invitation was accepted, he would commit to sending the children to school for at least half of the school term. Otherwise, they would begin teaching the children at home. Their four church leaders responded to the invitation and had a meal and a time of visiting with the Fishers in their home. But when Melvin suggested they move into Bible study, they told him that that was not a part of the Amish way of doing things, and they would not begin doing so now. Only a week after the school term had begun, the children's home education began. Difficulties and separation. The children soon felt a measure of rejection from their chums as they took the path of separation. Their parents received increasing pressure from the church leaders and many of their former friends because of their decision to follow Christ, regardless of the cost. So it was, you know, it was just something that they, you know, they saw the cost of following Jesus, and they were yet, you know, were compelled to go forward. And they were summoned to appear before the church to give an account of their decisions, and they were excommunicated for having been ungehorsam, or the English word would be disobedient to the church and its wishes. The search to belong. You know, this move by the church served only as a formalization of the separation that the family was increasingly aware of. Melvin and Sevilla began searching for spiritual fellowship with a church of like-minded believers. Melvin asked Daniel King, his friend in PA, for contact information for any believers near their area that they could visit. Daniel gave him the contact information for Aiden Troyer in Bern, Indiana. They began fellowshipping here at Allen County, but because of the distance, they visited only three times before the accident, but kept in contact by phone and also had Bible studies at home with like a local Baptist pastor. Sevilla, in a letter she wrote to one of the sisters here, she wrote, "We finally feel like we belong somewhere again after only having been here three times." And on October the 21st, they visited here for the last time. Joe and Ida Lonecker accompanied them home in Melvin's van, since Melvin only had his learner's permit. After about an hour on the road, the van began shaking violently. The van swerved to the right and then to the left, and then it veered off the left side in the median strip. It rode several times across the meridian and across the northbound lane, and finally stopped on its right side on the right shoulder of the northbound lane. And they were actually going south. Melvin, Sevilla, Reuben, age 16, Christian, age 11, and Eli, 15 months, were pronounced dead at the scene. And Leon, Melvin, Saloma, and Stephen survived, the ones that are living with us. Marie and I traveled to Indy on Sunday Eve to be with them, along with Joe, Ida, and their children. As we spent time there with the surviving children, we started thinking of what was going to happen to these children. Were they going to be put back into the system their parents had just been removed from? When a social worker stated that the children could not be released from the hospital without a court order, we knew without a doubt that we needed to file for custody for Melvin and Sevilla's sakes and for the children's sake. And we wanted to let God work it out. If we did not get custody of the children, we were willing to accept it as God's will, knowing we had done what we felt His Spirit prompting us to do. We both felt very strongly that we needed to file and give the children a chance to hear. The hearing was set for Friday, October 26th in Fort Wayne, 5 days after the accident, and we were granted temporary custody, as the judge ruled, for the children to continue in the direction their parents had chosen. And then there was the final hearings were in March of 07, like March 12th, in 08. March the 12th and March 14th were two full-day hearings in Park County Circuit Court. And we were granted permanent guardianship on April the 2nd of 2008. And at this time, I wanted to read an excerpt out of this summary. And also, just for a note here, in the future, we are kind of working on trying to have the complete summary of the two full days in Park County and the afternoon in Allen County to be available on phone. Excuse me. So at this time, I will read excerpt number 15. In reviewing all of the evidence and after applying the law to the evidence, the court concludes that it and is compelled to find it is in the best interest of the Fisher children to be placed with the Millers. This does seem counterintuitive, as one would tend to think that if family is available as a placement, then the kids should be placed with family. Yet, based on the evidence presented at the trial, an overwhelming evidence dictates primary placement with the Millers. Although there are many facts that have led to this decision, there are three main considerations that swayed the court. A, the Millers have virtually identical religious beliefs as Melvin and Sybilla, which is important in considering the wishes of the parents, the wishes of the children, and the perceptions of the children during the shunning. And B, the Fisher children want to live with the Millers, and C, the Fisher children have been living, bonding, thriving with the Millers for the past 5 months. So that was kind of one small paragraph in the summary, and as to what the judge and the court used to, grant us custody. But we also want to acknowledge and realize this afternoon that we realize it was nothing that we have done. We realize it is only by the prayers of God's saints, and that it was His work, and He alone is to be praised for the final outcome, because we realized that we had nothing in it. It was truly only God's working there. And so then we do have the visitation scheduled monthly. It's like 3 days a month, like a weekend. And then in the summer, there's like 2-3 week periods every summer that they need to go, to be with family, either in Park County or in PA, and then 1 week over Christmas every year. So, and the health-wise, the boys are doing fine, after having a minor head injury. And Sloma, she had a large area of bone missing, in her left leg. And she still needs some healing. She had a bone graft, and she's doing pretty well. She's not using a crutch anymore. Was hospitalized to do the bone graft, and it's not. They use donor bone, so it's not really adhering yet. But they still believe and trust that it will. So she was in a wheelchair for 5.5 months. And then used a walker and then crutches, and now is walking on her own, as I stated earlier. And she still needs some therapy. We ask that you continue to pray for her healing, that the bone would adhere, and she still needs extensive bone growth to completely re-heal her leg. So that there's a kind of a brief overview of just what we felt led to share at this time. And we do want to thank everyone for praying for the situation and all the gifts and cards and just the many outpouring of God's love that was shown. And we acknowledge today that we want to continue to walk with the Lord in this situation as we move forward. So we covet your prayers, and just ask that you would remember us. And we do have, for those of you that have email, we do have an email address that we would be able to correspond with you. It's fernmill, FURNMILL, 93@msn.com. So if anyone has something they would like to correspond with us or send some pictures, we would be glad to send pictures of the children to them, or vice versa. So if you feel led to to correspond with us, we would be blessed. So have a good day. Thank you.